Welcome to Yip Podcast. This is Mary.
And this is Tammy.
Yip. And today on the show, we have Bethany.
Hello.
So later we're going to talk to her.
I feel so loved.
We're going to put her in a box till then and see what happens. Okay, so anything new going on Tribe this week, Tammy?
Well, really, just our tribe. That's what I'm really focused on.
I love you, podcast.
Yay!
We'll pay you after the show. Right. I was so excited that we had so many members. Like, I was really happy that that many people joined our tribe.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much.
Well, we were looking for person number 6 last week, and now we're on person number 27, and that's pretty exciting. And, like, people from all over. Just nice, nice people. I like people to join us.
Sorry, I don't know.
And introduce yourself, gosh darn you.
Oh, that's right. Everyone's, like, lurking. It didn't make it into the podcast a couple weeks ago when we interviewed Matt, but we talked for a little while about we wonder if there's a tribe for lurkers, and if you go to a lurker tribe, you're not allowed to post anything. And Tammy's like, you know, I bet there's a tribe like that out there. And there is. There's a tribe for lurkers, and no one's posted anything. There's, like, 4 members or something.
Yeah, and I think someone, like, the one post on there says something like, oh man, I posted. I wasn't supposed to do that. Or something crazy like that.
I saw one that said, afraid to post, and then somebody posted back, no.
And
that was it.
And I think Matt ended up joining.
Like, he did. He joined, and then he emailed me, have you joined yet? I'm like, no, I like to talk too much. I don't lurk. I feel obliged to write something, and then I just get booted out.
It's all right. I've got, like, several tribes just bookmarked, mainly because some tribes ask you to request, basically, for you to be part of the tribe. You can't just join
tribe.
I don't like that. And I know why some of the tribes are like that, but I don't like to have to request, so I just bookmark them.
Oh, no, you know what else? I was just goofing around, and I found this new tribe put up by the Sultans. You remember Melanie LaJoy mentioning them a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Well, the Sultans just kicked off a tribe. They're like, after 25 years, the Sultans are back together. But their new CD, after 25 years, is called Player Symbols. Carol, who we're going to have on the show in a couple weeks, did a review for it, and she loved it.
So, Mary, how is the no poo going?
Oh my gosh, I've officially hit grossness. It bounces between being unbelievably disgustingly greasy, where I just tie it back into a braid or a ponytail and try to just think bald thoughts. Or, you know, it gets so disgusting that I have to do, like, heavy baking soda, and then it just feels really dry and crispy. So I haven't found a good balance yet.
Well, okay, first of all, quit doing the real heavy baking soda just because it's greasy. Your head has to go through the greasy stage. And if you keep doing the heavy baking soda, then you're in effect doing the same thing that your shampoo is doing. You're stripping your hair. And so you might as well be shampooing at that point.
Well, I promised I'd give it a month. So I've got, like, 2 more weeks to go. So we'll see what happens. But it's just, it's kind of gross right now.
And when are you doing this, Bethany?
Thanksgiving. That would be the time that I am off of work and I can actually somewhat go through the ickiness stage.
I haven't spent a whole lot of time on tribe this week because I've been visiting my parents. Well, I did go to the Yamada tribe a couple times, and Amy's posted up one of their Geisha Moth improv sessions that we also have linked from our Yip podcast page. And the one she posted up was the slow improv. And I'd actually never seen Unmada do slow improv before I saw this video. And it's absolutely beautiful.
So, speaking of Unmada, I heard you had an Unmada dream, Mary.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you brought that up. I did. I had an Unmada dream. Well, okay. So over the course of editing your podcast every week, I listened to it like 8 times. So I was listening to Unmada stuff like for 5 hours. And then I went to bed.
So tell us more. What was this dream about?
It made me a little sad. Because I think it was sparked by that part where Sarah was like, oh, he's the newest member. And I had to do all these big things. And Amy was like, you better bring it. And so in my dream, I don't know if I was Sarah or if I was me, just as a new member of Unmada. And we were doing this race, but it was like for a charity, and it was in a big city. We were all wearing rollerblades. And I was the news member, so I was really worried. I was like, oh, I hope I keep up. I hope I don't embarrass the whole group. You know, like there were like five or six of us in a pack and we were all dressed up. We were wearing like these really fun pants and then like something with tulle in it. I'm not going to say it was actually a tutu, but there was something fluffy out over by the hip area. I don't know what it was.
Something dreamlike.
You were wearing
something
a tutu.
Something dreamlike. I was not wearing. Well, it wasn't pink. It was black. Black.
It could still be a tutu
because it was Amy's favorite color.
Maybe that was it. And then on our backs, we had these big wings. And then hidden between the wings and our back, there were these two skateboards that were hung on these hooks. So when we reached behind us, we could reach a skateboard with each hand and pull out our double skateboards and put them down on the ground and then leap onto our skateboards. Now, apparently my dream self didn't see the problem with leaping on skateboards with rollerblades on.
I was going to ask you about that.
Because right before we went on the race, Amy demonstrated whipping out your skateboards and jumping on them. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then we were all in rollerblades, whatever. And so the race started and they're off like a shot. And I'm just about to peel after them. And then this toddler gets in the way. And I lose track of them in the crowd and I can't find them. And I'm like, why didn't I memorize the route? And I'm hearing Amy's voice in my head going, you better bring it. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I'm rollerblading really fast and I end up in this airport and I'm just sort of rollerblading around and people are staring and pointing and I'm like, whatever. I didn't know where they'd gone, so I went back to the starting place and eventually the rest of Umada showed back up and Amy was like, where were you? We walked for 3 blocks waiting for you. Where did you go? And then I woke up. I felt very disconcerted.
Okay, that gets a clap. That was the best dream
That is
ever.
The best dream ever.
It was not the best dream ever. Well, the best dream ever would have been my new self in my dream bringing it and being happy. Instead, I got lost in a strange city in my rollerblades and my black tutu. And Amy was very disappointed.
With double skateboards.
Double skateboards.
Transformer
and
style.
And black angel wings. So that was my weird dream. So that's
what
about it for
new?
Tribe, I guess.
The only other new tribe I did join was Fierce Fusion's tribe. They don't have much activity. Girls gotta move on with that tribe. But
well, they're still new. They're probably focusing on being awesome.
They probably are. Speaking of, I did an interview with them at Southern Oasis as well. So why don't we go ahead and play that?
Okay, here we go.
This is Tammy with the Yip Podcast. I'm here at Southern Oasis at the Umada Workshop, and I'm here with Kristen. So, Kristen, what troupe are you in?
I am in Fierce Fusion Belly Dance.
That sounds fierce. So, what kind of style of belly dance do you guys do?
We do fusion belly dance. Not really tribal fusion, but more just fusion dancing.
And what do you fuse with your dancing?
We fuse modern, hip-hop, belly dance, of course, but, you know, I think that's it. Swords and fire. We kind of try to throw it all in there and make it as fierce as possible.
That sounds it. I did see you guys perform last night. You guys were amazing. You guys, even without the swords, you guys were so together and on top of it. And then with the swords, beautiful work. Now, I know that I've seen you guys perform basically improv with the sword. So how did you guys decide to do that?
Well, we hadn't seen a lot of people doing improv with sword. They do choreographies with sword, but not a lot of improvisation with swords. And we also recently are working on a choreography with swords and fire. So fire swords while we're improvising. So triple trouble.
So how long have you guys been together?
Since October of last year. We've been dancing about 3 years, you know, on our own, and we just kind of came together, and it's been so amazing. I love my dance girls.
Well, that's good. And if you didn't, you probably shouldn't say it now. We are kind of wondering if you guys have ever had, especially using swords and fire, have you guys ever had any kind of costume malfunctions or something go horribly wrong in a show?
I think we've been, knock on wood, lucky so far. We haven't had any major malfunctions with swords, especially when you're improvising. It can be kind of scary because the swords are sharp and they will cut you. I have been cut. Two of us have been cut by our swords. So, But we were at practice, so it wasn't during a performance, thank God.
And how have the audiences accepted you? Are they really cool about it, or have you had some bad audiences who are not into it at all?
No, our audiences are always awesome. I think that you don't see a lot of sword around, and they're always mystified by it. So everybody has really good feelings towards us.
Well, anything else you guys want to add?
Check us out at AbsFest next weekend, which is June 13th in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, will you guys be performing out there?
We're dancing in the Saturday Midway show. We're dancing to Hell Blinky. They're going to be playing live for us, so it's going to be awesome.
Very cool. Well, thank you, guys.
But they sound really cool. I wish I could have been there to meet them. I saw the pictures of their metal bras that they were talking about.
Those were pretty hot metal bras. Dan made the comment that he thought maybe it was protection because they did a sword routine and that, you know, maybe if it slipped or something.
Ouch. Oh my gosh, I don't want to think about that. How sharp are their swords, for real? I didn't want to think about that.
Well, that brings up another great topic, our special 007 topic.
So we are totally mixing series and calling it a 007 Mission Impossible themed show. Because they both have cool themes. Why not?
And, you know, whatever.
Seriously, what are the podcast police going to get in trouble? Inconsistency.
So to start this topic off, I'd first like to introduce our guest, Bethany. Bethany, can you tell us how long you've been dancing? Where can we see you performing? What's going on in your life, Missy, that we would ask you for this particular podcast?
Well, I am a member of Blue Caravan with Florida Tribal Dance.
Yep.
And I perform wherever we're performing. You can find us at Dandelion Cafe and at farmers markets and art shows and wherever else that tribal style is a good fit for. I have been dancing for belly dancing for about 3 years, I guess. But prior to that, I did some jazz and did ballet and tap and all that fun stuff.
Can you show some jazz fingers right now?
No.
Oh, you're fun.
I am over that portion of my life. No more jazz hands.
Denial.
That's sad. That made me depressed for a second.
I'm never over jazz hands, and I never took jazz.
Thanks.
That reminds me that new movie Fame is coming out, which I'm excited about.
Oh my gosh.
And that blonde girl from So You Think You Can Dance from last season is in it, and I'm really excited about seeing how she does as an actress.
That should be fun.
Goodness gracious. So, Bethany, back to telling us why we asked you to be on this episode.
Well, the main reason is that I am full of injuries, and I am a belly dancer, still with injuries.
I love it. I mean, I don't love that you're injured. I love you, so the fact that you're injured makes me sad. But I love seeing you in rehearsals with this big leg cast thing on.
So I am wearing a walking cast, a walking boot that comes up to my knee.
Like when me and Tammy were talking about, you know, we're all about segments. So there's like costume segment and then there's like the music segment. And we love segments. So when we were trying to decide, we're like, we kind of need some more segments. And so being the snarky, uncharitable people we are, I was like, we could have What's Wrong with Bethany Now segment. And she could come on and tell us what's wrong with her now. Because she's always fighting through something.
Always.
What else breaks on you, Bethany?
Well, the main injury that I have most of the time is impingement syndrome in my right shoulder. And basically what it is it's tendonitis, bursitis, and rotator cuff weakness. Basically, it's what pitchers get when you're playing baseball, and it's due to repetitive motion. So putting your arms up in rest position, then to relax, and then to center arms, that's repetitive, and it hurts the shoulder.
She's like, me and Tammy are talking about, we feel like our arms are sore after a regular practice, and they weren't sore at the beginning, and like your arm might very well start out sore.
Yes.
And then you're like, do, 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 do. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I work through the pain, but I also know that if I don't move my shoulders, they'll lock up and they'll freeze. And then they'll be worse
Oh, wow.
So it's easier and it's better for me to actually do the motions than it is to not. So we stay active.
Even through the pain.
Even through the pain.
Push it,
and,
girl.
And what I usually do is if it's hurting really bad, I take it easy. And I know that next time it may not hurt so bad. And I do stretches and exercises to keep it moving smoothly as best as possible.
So with your newest injury, with your leg injury, you still come to rehearsal, as I had mentioned. So
yes.
How do you handle that? I mean, like when you come, some of the stuff you're able to kind of stand up and wobble with us, but for the most part, you sit down and...
So for me, being on my feet isn't a very good thing. So I usually bring a chair and I sit in my chair, and anything that you can do standing up, I can do sitting down. Minus Turkish shimmies, because those are a little difficult to do.
Sounds like that caused some uncomfortable reverb.
Oh my gosh. You know, usually you have, you know, the jiggling that helps the momentum of a Turkish shimmy. Well, when you're sitting, you don't have that. So it kind of stops.
I'm trying now and it's difficult.
It's difficult.
Like,
you can do regular shimmies.
Yeah, that's what I end up with. This is
no, I feel
awkward.
Like I'm trying to do the Suhaila shimmy when I'm sitting in a chair, which I'm so bad at.
Oh, those are horrible.
My glute shimmies. Well, theoretically, I think you need to practice them to get better.
Yes. I would really agree with helps. That. Yeah. I theorize that one day I'll be good with it, but no.
So on Tribe, we posted a thread asking for contributions from you, our listeners, about impossible dance situations you've gotten into and how you've gotten yourself out of them. And we are going to go through some of those in just a minute. But first, we're going to break for our first music spotlight. Our first music spotlight is Amon Tobin. And probably a lot of you guys out there know Amon Tobin. Awesome musician. He's originally from Brazil, but he's lived all over the world, spent a lot of time living in England. I think now he's in Canada, in case you were wondering. So the three songs you're going to hear are El Wraith, which is from the album Out From Outwhere. The second one is Easy Muffin from the album Bricolage. And then the third song is People Like Frank from the album Permutation. So that was Amon Tobin, and the links to his music will be on the site. And now we are going to go ahead and get to some of the posts that some of our listeners put up on the thread that we have on our Tribe. Which, by the way, I totally didn't say the address for our Tribe right. I tried typing in tribe.net/yippodcast and I didn't get anywhere. So just follow the link on yippodcast.com. Thank you. So on the tribe, we put up a thread for people to post, and we got some really interesting posts, although some of them offered some rather interesting problems and then did not put forth any solutions. So I don't know if some of these ended happily or badly, or but some of them are great. So why don't you read a couple of those for us, Tammy?
Well, the first one I want to read is Sarah Kate's.
Sarah Kate.
I absolutely adored that one.
Okay. Can you just picture her?
That made me laugh so hard. Sarah Kate, I love you.
Okay, so what did Sarah Kate say?
The first one I witnessed. It was at one of our hofflas. It was the one where Matt and I's pants fell down. So, you know, it was just a mess of a hofla is basically what I'm thinking. But she danced
outside, in the grass. Exactly. Never a good idea.
Well, she wore these like dreads in her hair, and she danced to like this Black Eyed Peas song, and you know, it was really just like out there moving it. And her jewelry got caught in her dreads.
Oh, is this when one dread got ripped off?
Yeah, I don't know if the dread got. I knew she like fixed
like
it
fell or was
and
dangling
she just
or something.
Kind of like made it as part of her attitude in the song, so it really worked. And she's just so adorable.
She's like 5 foot nothing.
Yeah, she just is so. I mean, she's so cute, and so she just worked it. Like, you know, like, oh, my jewelry and my dread got caught, whatever, and just like kept on dancing. So that was one of her little issues she came across, and she, you know, was very professional about it and just kept on dancing.
Well, the other one made me very worried for her.
I was worried too. So here's her story. This one time she was dancing and some guy pulled a gun on her, and she was like, wacha, pow, bang, yep. And then she shimmied the gun right out of his hands and sent him to the big house, which she meant jail.
I'm glad she clarified that for us.
She says that those were good times.
You are so brave, Sarah Kate. You are so brave. I really am impressed by that.
I mean, she must drill those shimmies like nobody's business to be able to keep them up while, you know, getting a gun out of someone's hand.
I'm just glad she's using that power for good, not evil.
Good point.
Good point.
Good point.
Superhero.
So that was Sarah Kate's story.
Oh, my favorite was Belda's. I want you to read Belda's. I met her when I was doing cabaret still, and she's absolutely a lovely person, inside and out. And she's been dancing for quite a while, so I was not surprised to see that she'd had some things in her past. So let me think. Costume malfunction, she says. During a restaurant set, I didn't pin my belt. And it got out of whack, and so she yanked it back into place. I'm paraphrasing. And then during another big professional show, there was this awkward stage situation, and then to top it all off, one of her zills came off of her fingers and flew through the audience. Luckily, no one died, and she found it after the show.
But yeah, her other issues, they're funny to me only because I was also with Suspira at one point in time, and Belda... She puts out, like, before the shows, kind of like her list of things to make sure you've done or don't do before
right,
the show.
Right, because she's the stage manager for Suspira shows.
Correct. And it's, like, a really, you know, good list for performances. And one of her big things, in fact, rule number one, I believe, is make sure that you pin down everything, safety pin everything. And so it's funny that the reason she came up with that rule is because her scarf, you know, slipped around. And I have had that happen.
Oh yeah,
I've had my coin belt start falling, and you're like, oh my god, and I didn't pin it, and I didn't think about it, and
it happened more when I was doing cabaret because you had the chiffon that didn't have a whole lot of grip.
Correct.
And now I tie those, you know, cotton tapestry belts on so tight they're not going anywhere, but the chiffon ones, you know, they were hard to pin really tight because they're like, I'm gonna tear it.
Yeah,
and they were so pretty.
But then you don't want it sliding down. It's not.
No,
fun.
No, I've seen that,
and you feel bad. You're like, oh. And then the whole thing with her zill coming off, when I read that, I was laughing only because I always thought that was a joke. Like, I've heard people say, well, you know, you want your zills, you know, your fingers to turn blue, your zills to be on tight. You don't want it to fly off during a performance. And I just thought it was something like instructors said to freak you out and make you feel better about your fingers turning blue. But apparently it's happened. So
yeah, I think there's a grain of truth in every urban legend.
So some of our other contributors was Carol, who we've danced with. She was in Blue Caravan. She is now on her own instructing, and she's been dancing for a while as well. And she used to do bellygrams in New York, and she says that she's had major surprises when she showed up to parties. And one time she went to a house party in Long Island, and it was a backyard birthday cookout.
Nice.
I mean, it seems like the perfect setting for a dancer. She says that the house had a German Shepherd. And she said, imagine my dismay to appear all glamorous in costume and have to dance in the dirt, which was liberally pockmarked with holes that the dog had dug. As a finishing touch, the dogs kept trying to join my act. Good times. Someone else that contributed was Leanne, and she's Matt's wife. And she says that her first belly dancing class was in 1994, and she was told that she didn't have the body for cabaret and wouldn't make any money dancing. Matt and I talked about her pants falling off. That's great. And then the other thing that's happened to me costume-wise has been the first bra I made where I tried to do, like, the cross back. I didn't know how to make it, so I completely cut off the sides of the bra as opposed to leaving part of it on for the O-ring to go around. So because I did that, the bra kept doing under boob cleavage. Like, it would kept writing up.
I remember this.
So during a performance.
So sexy.
Yeah. During a performance, which Mary has as blackmail, I will just say that I was never so happy to wear a choli than that day. I'm just now I can't dance without one because I'm so scared of what could happen. I have since fixed the bra, by the way, so it does not ride up like
Thank
that anymore.
Goodness. Excellent.
But yeah, so the bra kind of slipped up on one side almost completely, really. It was like halfway up. And so I just kind of, during one of the moves, kind of like swooped my hand down and tucked my bra, my boobage back into the bra and kept on going. I was so freaked out because I was like, oh my God, I am in this public venue with little children running around. And this is nothing like when I breastfeed. This is completely different. This is me stripping. This is this is not for the good of my child at all.
Awesome.
So anyway, that's my little me and costumes apparently aren't friends, so. Have you guys had any costume malfunctions?
I mean, I can't think of any really horrible ones. I've seen some really, I want to say horrible, but at the time I thought, wow, that's funny. But you guys already know that I'm not a very nice person. I mean, some things you're just like watching, you're just horrified. And then you're like, I bet it's going to happen. Oh, I can't stop watching. But I guess little things, you know, like coin scarves getting twisted around, or, you know, or belts getting twisted around and going the wrong direction. Or sometimes I have too many layers, and sometimes there can be weird bunching things when you have too many layers. So that's about it, I guess. All right. So let's take this moment to discuss the worst costume malfunctions you've ever seen.
I've seen thongs when I'm probably not supposed to be seeing thongs.
I've seen bra straps snap. Girls who used like maybe a swimsuit top as a bra base, or something that has like incredibly thin spaghetti straps, and you're like, oh, it's never going to make it under the weight of those coins. And sure enough, pop. But luckily, if you put enough stuff on those bra cups, they pretty much hold themselves up. So there was nothing flashed, but we were all kind of... That added a little something electric to the routine, I have to admit. Anything else? Oh, skirts where the slits are too high and you can't tell if they're wearing underwear or not. You know, I read something once where if you are going to have a skirt that's revealing, you need to wear preferably dance pants. Obviously not skin colored, because you don't want there to be any doubt in the audience's mind that you are wearing underwear. So, you know, they're like little shorts.
Yeah, they're like booty shorts.
Because there was a girl who danced the other day who was like, oh. And like, I couldn't pay attention to her dancing at all. I was just sort of staring at her going, I don't know. Is she wearing underwear? Is she not wearing underwear? Why am I watching her like this? I'm uncomfortable. But I couldn't stop staring because the slit was way too high. It wasn't a flattering costume either. She'd spin and her skirt would kind of go, woo, and we're all like,
yeah, I can't do stuff like that.
Any other costume malfunctions we've seen? I've seen like little things, like
like hip scarves getting mixed in with other hip scarves, and
have you seen the like in the middle of shimmy and the hip scarf sort of slowly starts sliding down the chiffon skirt, and you're like, somebody didn't use enough safety pins. Pin.
I have seen where people have safety pinned and the costume still comes undone.
Yeah, that's the other thing with safety pins is at least, you know, if you don't safety pin, it's just the hip scarf falling off. But if you do, it could be everything.
You know, have not properly tested your costuming. You know, at some point, one of your layers should have enough elastic to save your outfit.
You hope.
No, there should be no hoping. You should have tested that out. I think that's what a lot of the problems come from. Just people haven't danced in their costumes.
Right.
Well, I had a costume when I was doing cabaret. I had this skirt, and it was like a yellow. I still have it. It's like a yellow, orangey chiffon skirt. Really pretty. I was 7 months pregnant dancing in it. And so I couldn't. I had no waist, basically. And so, like, I put my skirt up as much as possible, but I'm so short, and the skirt, even now if I wore it, was, like, trailing the floor. So I was, like, rolling it. And so I put the coin belt over it. And my coin belt started to like slip at the very end. And I'm just like, you know, it's one of those moments like, hurry up, song, end now. And like
even
it
before
ended.
Everything else comes
and
down.
Exactly. Because I was so afraid. Like, I didn't want to pin it because my skirt was already rolled at my pseudo waist. And then with the coin belt on top of that, it was just a mess. It was a mess. I made it through barely, and then, like, literally as I was walking off the stage, which was a big open area, there was no curtains on the side. My coin belt just kind of fell. It's like,
See, that's one thing I will say in favor of more tribal or fusion costuming. I was always afraid when I was doing cabaret of breaking things because they are made out of much more fragile fabrics, you know, chiffons and georgettes and, you know, silk veils that are just beautiful. But it's like, don't snag it on anything for the love of Pete. This cost me like a week's wages. But like, you know, there's more very forgiving two-way stretch knits and cottons, more open weave fabrics that you can just pin the heck out of and they're not damaged irreparably. Which is nice.
I like.
All right, the second music spotlight is going to be on a Turkish pop singer called Tarkan. He's probably best known for his song Simarik, which is also known as the Kiss Kiss song. It's been covered a bunch of times, but I like the original the best. If you've spent any time in cabaret at all, there's an excellent chance you've heard the Kiss Kiss song. The second song is called Dudu. It's off of an album of the same name. And it's a little more relaxed. I think it would work really well for a veil piece. And the third song is called Vai Anam Vai by his most recent CD, which came out in December 2007, called Metamorphos.
Düşündürüyor. that was Tarkan. You know, he's called the Turkish Prince of Pop, but actually he was born in Germany, which is kind of interesting, I think.
Where purity of movement is threatened by the tidal wave of vanity. Where the sequined veil of mystery meets the couched hips of deceit. Where the passion of the dance is consumed by the riptide of neurosis. You will find Shimmy Cove. Today on Shimmy Cove, the parts of Tiffany and Donna will be read by Amy and Sarah from Unmada. This is Jenny Porter, and I am live at the Shimmy Cove Memorial Hospital. Usually a calm place of healing, it has now been flung into chaos. I have several witnesses who have confirmed that Nadine Frost, Shimmy Cove's prodigal daughter, showed some very odd behavior before unexpectedly leaving the hospital. There are also reports of some sort of government official, possibly FBI, appearing at the hospital. If only we could get inside the hospital, I might be able to find out more. Wait! I see someone approaching. Maybe we can get a statement from... Yes, it's Absinthe from Malady Dance. Absinthe! Absinthe, may we have a word?
Any word in particular?
What?
Never mind. What do you want, Jenny?
Our viewers are desperate for any information you can give us about what's going on inside the hospital.
I just got here. I have no idea what's going on inside. I was just going to go hunt down Jack Pierce and tell him that I'm going to withdraw my application for the festival. Such a waste of time, anyway. Why? What is going on in the hospital?
Television gold! That's what's going on. And I need to be in there, but they're not letting anyone in.
Who's not letting anyone in?
In a desperate bid to be useful, the Shimmy Cove part-time volunteer firefighters have commandeered the fire truck, blocked all exits from the hospital, and have been holding off everyone with primed fire hoses.
Seriously?
If you think I'm exaggerating, you should ask the mayor why he's soaked to the skin.
I think I'll pass. He looks really ticked off.
I just wish we'd caught it on camera. Then at least we'd have something for our viewers to watch.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
Who is that?
Oh my gosh, you're Jenny from the news on TV. This is crazy. I'm so excited.
Who are you?
Oh my gosh, my name's Tiffany, but you can call me Tiff. Everyone does. I saw the whole thing with the mayor and everything. I saw everything inside the hospital too. I barely escaped before the firemen came zooming up. It was crazy. Oh my gosh.
All right, Tiffany, just calm down and tell me what...
Tiff, call me Tiff. All my friends call me Tiff.
All right then, Tiff, tell us what went on inside the hospital.
So... I was waiting for my friend Donna because we were like at this kickin' party and some guy decided to dance on the bar, except we accidentally kicked a bowl of cashews and one got stuck and stuffed in Donna's ear and we couldn't get it out. So we came to the hospital and this doctor totally got the cashew out using only a pair of pliers. Isn't that crazy? I know it's totally crazy.
But what happened with the FBI agent?
Oh, right. So then me and Donna were hungry and we were about to ask the night nurse for change for the vending machines so we could get a Mountain Dew. Then this girl started dancing around throwing knives or something. Then she totally freaked out and ran away. Then this FBI agent, who I totally thought was a singing telegram girl or something at first, comes in and starts bossing everyone around. It was crazy. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, here comes my friend Donna.
What are you doing, Tiff? My ear hurts.
Oh my gosh, Donna, stop trying to monopolize the conversation. Other people have things to say too. I mean, we're friends and all, but do you have to butt in all the time? I mean, really, Donna, oh my gosh, did you get my Mountain Dew?
No, we ran out before the FBI agent could push us into that room with Dr. Pliers, remember?
Oh, of course I remember. I hate it when you interrupt me when I'm talking. I have feelings, and I'm a person. I'm really hungry. Are you hungry, Donna? You look really pale. Oh my gosh, you're soaking wet. Are you okay?
I'm fine, Tiff. I went to ask one of those firefighter guys what time it was, but he started hyperventilating and asking me for the password, and then he just sprayed me with a fire hose before I could ask him what he was talking about. What an idiot.
Oh my gosh, poor Donna! I know what you need! Mountain Dew. Come on, let's go find one. Jenny, it was so much fun talking to you. Come on, Donna!
Wow.
Wow.
I gotta go take a nap. I don't even care about finding Jack anymore. I hope he's happy with his knife-throwing, Mountain Dew-drinking, FBI-singing telegram girl named Tiffany.
Absinthe? Were you really even listening to what Tiffany said?
No.
Holy cow! What in the world is that?
Run for your life!
Looks like a bear. Just
stole
figures.
My wheelchair.
Absinthe, where do you...
Oh my God,
where are you going? This is Jenny Porter, still alive from the Shimmy Cove Hospital. As the scene outside the hospital degenerates from chaotic to seriously weird, I can't help but wonder what's really going on inside. What really happened in the waiting room with Nadine, and where is she now? Why is the FBI getting involved in small-town business? And what is that bear doing with that fire hose? Find out next week on Shimmy Cove.
It's a bear.
Fine, so, Tammy, what's going on around town?
So, some of the events coming up. June 19th through the 21st is Tribal Solstice at Lotus Studios in Pembroke Pines. So the website is www.lotusdancestudio.com. And Donna Mejia will be featured there.
And I will be there as well. I'm going to go to the Saturday workshops.
I am jealous as well. I love Donna.
I'm very excited. I would have loved to be able to afford the whole weekend, but it's a little pricey for the weekend.
So also coming up is General Skills here in Orlando, Florida with Carolina from Fat Chance. You can go to the Florida Tribal Dance website, www.floridatribaldance.com, and contact Lacey. I don't think there are any spaces available, but you can contact her anyway and find out. Also on the 12th is the show with Carolina and Mega, and Blue Caravan will be performing.
Yep.
And so will Black V, and I believe the new student troupe, Silver Sage, will be performing.
Yes, I'm very excited
I'm
to
excited
see them.
I'm excited about them. I'm excited to see them.
So that's going to be $10 if you buy them from Lacey prior to the event, and then I think it's $15 at the door. So I say buy them ahead of time, save yourself $5, and get your ticket. Also coming up in July, July 18th through 19th, is Tribal Burn. That's www.hip-expressions.com. And that's in St. Pete, and Sarah Locke of New York is going to be doing a workshop, and Lacey will be doing a workshop. So anyway, that's what's going on.
Cool.
Fantastic. If you have any other events that you want us to promote in your area, especially workshops that are going to be going on, please email us. So let me give you some info now. You can email us at email@yippodcast.com. You can go to our website where we have all these wonderful links at www.yippodcast.com. Also on our website now, we have this Google follower thing. We have 6 followers. Woo-hoo.
I'm one of them, but I don't have a picture up yet.
I'm one of them. I have a picture up.
I am not one of them, but I will be.
There we go.
I love Yip Podcast.
Yep. You can Skype us at Yip Podcast. You can leave us a message, which nobody has. So I've gotten some weird Skype messages, but it's not for Yip Podcast, I'm hoping. So where you can leave us a message at is 321-441-3933. And you can join our tribe at tribes.tribe.net/Yip Podcast. Or you can just go to tribe.net and search Yip Podcast and we come right up. Yay.
I love that forced enthusiasm.
I just want to thank Bethany for stopping by our Yip Podcast studios.
Definitely.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
It's awesome having you.
So this has been Tammy.
And this has been Mary.
Yip! Yip.